working 90% for the reason for all this. It comes out on the floor of the Senate, and a lot of mean words back and forth and shouts and screams, but doesn't get into the daily papers. And the congressional record is not the most popular book for reading. But sometimes if you want to really find out about economics, sometimes I think it's handy to go into the congressional record because nobody else ever reads it, especially in the House Banking Committee with our Arthur McFadden and some of the comments he's had about what's going on in that particular secluded sanctum sanctorum of banking and pressure and lobbying groups. Okay, so with all of that system transcending all of this, the name of the beast has a number of its name. This calls for wisdom, that him who has understanding reckon, that the number of the beast, for it is a human number, and its number is 666. And we're told that you cannot buy or sell in this particular period unless you have that number. Okay? Now look in chapter 14, verse 9. Another angel, a third, followed, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image, or receives a mark on its forehead or his hand. In other words, will you get a number on your forehead in the end time? No. Read it carefully. I found what it says.
Mark.
A mark. And this is fascinating. We go into the world of computer banking. Can a computer read a number?
No.
Not really. Computers don't read numbers, they read what?
Lines.
Marks. Sure, all of you, at one time or another, when you went to school, high school or something, and you had, when I took my graduate exams in college and things like that, we got these computer tests, and we got a soft pencil, and we got this thing, this sheet, and then it had on the side a lot of little rectangular lines, and we had to fill in a black mark on the particular multi-choice thing, and then the computer scanned the what? The mark. And then the computer in its mind turned over the mark into a number. So the example I usually give is, well, we'll get back there. Well, why not? If you go to the store, the grocery counter, and this is being used in banking, if you go to the store on the grocery counter and you see a tube of toothpaste for 59 cents. That 59 cents is for your eyes. The computer can't read that. But it has what we've developed in America called the UPC. The universal, what? Product code. Now, you can't, in fact, buy something, hardly now, without this mark. And if you're a producer, you can't sell it to a retailer unless it has this mark. It has to be a mark, not a number. The computer can't read it. So it takes the mark and it transposes it into a number. Okay? So when you look at it, she doesn't look if the price tag is 59 cents for your toothpaste. She turns it over to where the mark is, and then she runs it right over the little thing, and it goes beep, 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 and it records it, and it puts it on the ticket, and it makes all kinds of adjustments through the computer. And by the way, you know, they emit harmful gamma rays. If you lift up that little thing, it goes beep, 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 beep. The Rentgens that come out of that are very deadly, and you lift it up, and it says, warning, can be dangerous. I often think of the account at the checkout counter, you know, I should have lifted that thing up. Because the government said it should be marked, and industry says we certainly will, you know. Nobody's either. It's like, this is chaos standing by the checkout counter. It's kind of like when you go and get an x-ray. You haven't heard me talk, you went to my dentist, and he says, the first thing we'll do is x-ray all your teeth. I say, well, not mine, you won't. He says, why? Don't worry about it. I say, yeah, don't worry about it. But you run out of the room behind the door, and you go, you know, like a week behind a leaded shield, and then you go take it to me. So I worry. Okay, so now in chapter 14, verse 9, if anyone worships the beast and its image or receives a mark, you see, the word in the Greek I think is a stigma, a mark. It refers to lines, blotches, which is pretty much like the UPC. On his forehead or his hand, he also shall drink the wine of God's what?
Wrath.
Poured out unmixed into the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. When was the last time we heard a sermon on this? And the smoke of their torment goes up forever, and they have no rest day or night. These worshippers of the beast and its image who receive the what?
Mark.
Now why a special mention that Christians cannot receive this mark on of the number on their forehead? Why not?
They've been
baptized.
It doesn't matter.
That's right. You already have a what? On your what? Who put it there? The priest. Right? And our liturgy, and the old liturgies of the Apostolic Rite of the Apostles, this is one of the oldest, the priest poured water on it, and he got holy oil, and the Eastern Orthodox Church, anointed by the bishops, said, we mark you with the sign of the cross and seal you with this or that or the other. And our new liturgy, it says, you are marked with the sign of the cross and sealed as Christ's own forever, and you're allowed to dip your hand if you want to in chrism. In the old prayer book, we just poured water and did it with the thumb. But it was the marking. So you're under Christ's protection. If you get the mark of the beast, then you erase your baptismal what? Covenant. And then you're on your own, kids. So this is interesting to see so far. Now, let's have a look. And my throat is getting a little sore. And would you mind if we just took a little break, and then we'll get back to this in about 5 or 6 minutes. 98 AD, that was 20, 30 years after the temple was already destroyed by Titus, so this was a vision of a new temple. So the temple is up in the 11th chapter of Revelation, the 12th chapter, Jewish people are back, the 13th chapter, verse 1, the European conglomerate of the 10 nations of the European development is back, and as soon as the 10 come together, becomes the closing of a new international system. Somebody just gave me this. I've seen this. In fact, maybe I'll just go ahead a little bit and come back to it a little later. Marine Midland Bank is using, as you know, the new trilateral digit code on all their cash checks, which is 666. On your card, we have a fella. You see, in the new international banking tri-digit service code, the tri-digit service code is 666. We used to have what we call credit cards. They're being changed. They will be changed in the next few years. I wanted to show you on my other card, but I kept this old mobile card. I was going to show it to you right up on the screen, but I can't now. We used to get cards like this, you see. This is basically a number. It's not silver or gold. As it says here, you neither buy neither gold nor silver. In the last days when the Jewish people get back, in that century, we'll go into a new system of numbers. And basically, these things are numbers. We'll even go through, maybe, any of you heard of the smart card? How many of you heard of the smart card? The smart card is a cybernetic wonder. It's your date of birth. All your financial transactions, your credit rating, your health rating, and it all goes in a computer processing microchip the size of a pinhead, and it goes in the upper left part and has everything you want about you right in your card. They're using it in Europe. The smart card is developed by the Burroughs Corporation, which is the, as you know, they had in Brussels an enormous computer. It's considered one of the largest multi-complex computers, tri-digital layout computers in the world. Dr. J. Patrick Fisher, who is the head of computer research, and he was selected by the Canadian government to represent Canada as a Canadian analyst and cyberneticist at the Olympic Games to handle the computer setups there, has gone to see the new worldwide focusing brain of the new international banking and credit network. And that network is in the Jean Monnet building. It's built in Brussels. It was just finished in March of this year. The Jeanne building, and the computer is considered one of the largest cognitive complex computer systems in the world, and it's affectionately called the Beast. Its main interacting service code, tri-service code, is 666. Now what happens, the old cards that you used to have were just plain like this, you see, and they had an embossed number on the front, and on the back was usually a white paste card with the request that you write your name or something for some kind of identification. J.J. Reynolds, who was the head of Visa Card Corporation and an executive in planning and computer planning, has pointed out in one of his articles that what is now embossed on the numbers with your name no longer means anything. In fact, the number on the front is just a carryover from your old processing number, or maybe put on the front, has no relationship to what's on the back. And I had some things to show you here. which were the Sears card and the number which was embossed on the front, and when it ran through the computer at the main Sears area, the number was different from the other number, and the person wrote in because the number had the trial digital service code 666. 666, the advantage of computer cybernetology is it can be used both upside down or right side up. It can be used as a double service. So 999 is also 666. It can be used as a prefix or a suffix, the ante-penode or penultimately on the number or series. This was what I was going to show on the projector so that you all could see it. And we probably can't now, but what I had was my old ARCO card and my new ARCO card. And I don't know if you can see this, but my old ARCO card, it said, effective, I just received this a few months ago. You are, here are your new ARCO credit cards. The new cards issued to you have a magnetic strip on the back. That's called the tri-digital service code. The tri-digits are 666. Of the discretionary data field track 2, that refers to the whole strip. It says, effective immediately, destroy your old ARCO credit card, even though they may not have expired. Mine did not expire. Use the enclosed magnetic strip for all your future transactions. Okay, now here was my old card. It had the same number, the same name, the same embossing. The back was different. One had the plain white strip of my signature. All the new ones will now have the trilateral digit discretionary code, tri-digit statistic code, of course. Track 2. Now, here I had one of those to show you how the, this particular bank system has a new 666 system. We had an interesting thing, our choir. We had one of our basses in the choir who works for Tricor. And he received a memorandum, not Tricor, on Main Street, from, and he took a photocopy of the memorandum, asked for permission, got it, here it is, to his office. And it says, Mr. V.A. Bartowski has received verbal approval for the bias sample PTN code names for the particular window glaze. And for plastic blade bodies, 666, call from Jay Fontana. Therefore, we should move assemblies and so on, please adjust the records accordingly. So as a Christian, of course, he knew the prophets of God, and being his word focused right on 666, so he called up the general management office. And Mr. A. Wardoziak said in a memo to Jack Wacker, quote, 666 is a provisional release now used by General Motors on all transcripts of all economies made. The 666 then is a kind of an international cipher. Now what happened? What happens is a lot of this is related to the telephone company and the growth of the computer. As you may remember, and it's exciting, we'll do a little of this, then backtrack into the Bible about how what the Bible meant by 666 and how it's reflected right now. All of this would have been impossible without the computer. I read in Computer America magazine today, an article a few months ago, and it said that to replace computers with people, it would take 3 trillion people to do the work that computers do. Now, there are only about 2.7 billion people in the world. I mean, to do it as fast and efficiently as computers now do things, it would take that many people. You know, 30 years ago, there weren't hardly any computers. We just got along very well. We thought without them. But now, you go to checkout counters and everything, and all the new system by the EIR, Burroughs Corporation, not Burroughs Corporation, of computer docket cashier, those little cashiers with the computer systems on, can be dovetailed into electronic funds transfer. And this is another thing, EFT, which bankers consider a great blessing, and it is. Because Burns and later Volcker, the head of the Federal Reserve Board, said America is dying under a flood of paper checks. That the amount and cost to the banking system of processing, mailing, handling, copying, getting out, getting back, we're going bananas with paperwork. And if there's somebody here, I understand from banks, they could probably get up and tell you the overhead and all this kind of stuff. It's so much easier to put it all on EFT, electronic funds transfers. And in many cities now, you don't get paid in cash. We've had people in our parish who have been giving me a signatory note from their bosses that they will no longer be paid in cash. They will be paid on a 666 number track code or listing, and their listing will go directly into the bank, and they can use a card and get the withdrawals right on that particular system. The Holy Bible says that the day will come when you will not be able to buy anything or sell anything without that particular use of that particular card. This is exactly what people high up in the computer industry are saying. The present card we have is called a credit card. What is next is planned to be called a transaction card. The transaction card greatly reduces the ability of the person to debt. It's like kind of a Visa checking account, where a certain Visa account is accepted anywhere because if you already have the money in it, you can only pull out what you already have in. That's kind of a next step away from the credit card. And finally, J.J. Reynolds says, in the offering, will be the debit card, which will just be that you can only buy what you want to buy, what you actually have in your account. Now, Arthur G. M. Jepson was in a white paper, I think was his name, on the Channel 17, and some of you may have seen it on the Nova edition recently on television. It was on, published by some university, doing research on the effect of computers. And these two doctors, PhDs in economics, posed just for curiosity. It was through Russia. They both were fluent in the language. And they went to the Burroughs Corporation, and they asked them for a system whereby they, as representatives of the KGB, Russian security, the equivalent of our CIA, could keep track of their people. And they said, what would be the best system that we could keep an eye on people? And they said they had fun and they had money, and they gave them money to buy for their consideration, consultation. This was on television, I hope maybe some of you saw it. And then the Americans called them in their office and pulled out this big report, and they said they felt the best way to keep control of the people, to know where everybody goes, would be, they said, to use the EFT salary system, electronic transfer. Because you know where people are, what they're doing, what they're buying, what they're selling, what they paid for, and you can keep track absolutely. So they recommended that to the KGB to keep track of the people. Now, whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not, we are going to go on to something like this kind of a system. It's a good system. The problem is not the system. The Bible warns us that there's going to come a time when somebody is going to get that system who's not going to be a very kind person. And the system can be used like any system, it can be abused. The Bible says, watch out for a particular person who's going to be very, very popular and will manage to get that particular system in its use. Oh, here it is. This was on Saturday, October the 3rd at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was called Close Up by Nova, Channel 17. It's called Computer Spies and Private Lives. And it's just fascinating. It talks about the telephone system, and how we have new computer voices which copy voices of famous people, and they can call you up and cajole you and threaten you and speak to you, and you're talking to the computer and you say, why haven't you paid your payment to the bank or to this group or to that group? And the person gives the reason, and if the computer's not happy, it says, now what you're saying is going to be recorded and I'll play it back to you, and other people are going to listen to it, and then the other person saying, well, and this conversation going between a man and a machine. But the machine has a very beautiful voice, very pleasant voice, it's good of mine, it's comforting, and it's stern, and it gets amazing, the effect of the fact used by the Amazon banks on the central U.S. area. Now, let's go in. Basically, that's what's happening in the different articles of the phone company, which is the one most exciting thing developing in the world of 666. Before we get into what some economists are writing about the present international situation. That's interesting because we have one of the group vice presidents of Buffalo Savings Bank in the parish. And I always chat over with him to see Peter Zaleski, what he thinks about the particular situation in banking nationally and internationally. But the phone company also. You know, if you had a lot of money years ago, one of the signs of prestige was riding around in a black Cadillac and sitting in the back, in a little aerial in the back, and you had your own personal telephone. Because the reason why it was expensive was because Ma Bell divided the entire country under 25 channel network systems. But the new 666 system, the trilateral digicode, works now basically on another system. So this was an announcement of, which was in Popular Mechanics, of a very complex article issued by the Bell telephone system, saying that within the next 5 to 6 years, telephones will be provided right in your cars so that everybody can use it very long. And it says here, no longer will the system be limited to the 25 channels recently scheduled in the grid over the country. However, the new cell is found computing, routing in all cars in the most efficient manner, for the new system will open now on the new 666 voice system channel. It's everywhere. The Bible says that you're going to find it everywhere. You're going to you find it in your homes, in your jobs, in your places. It's going to be on your driver's license. It's going to be on just about everything. It's going to be so common that the day will come when people will say, what's the matter with you? If the children born now will be so surrounded by a world of 666, they will think that Christians will be excited, be getting excited about it. You see? When you're born into a sick age or a sick system, when you're born into a life, my son, the youngest one, or the other one, is 22, he thinks it's normal that there should be police walking down the halls of the high school. He thinks it's normal that they should have drugs. I mean, weren't they always like that? I can remember, anybody with gray hairs, you remember when we used to talk about students rioting? That happened down in the Banana Republic of Panama. You know, our kids were busily trying to squeeze into telephone booths for fun, or things like that, or drain fish, or stuff like that. But either they're bringing down governments, or having where drugs and alcohol are a national problem, where there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and then Alateen for teenagers, and now for Alcoholics Anonymous for kids who are from 9 years old to 11. All this is fairly recent. Sure, there were always problems, but never like this. Not like this. But to most people, this is normal. It seems like it's always been like this. No, it hasn't always been like this. And neither has the 6-6 system. But it is going to seem very, very common. And I praise God for where I am in St. Bartholomew's. People are just bringing up every kind of increased youth. And to me, it makes me so happy that the Word of God is true, and I'm so much filled with the love and joy of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my soon-coming King and my Lord and Master. And so with the Holy Eucharist, I really do believe that not only Christ has died and is risen, but He's really going to come again. And I know where He's going to come. I know exactly where His feet are going to touch down. And I can tell you the chapter and verse in the book because I know the Word of the Lord. And if I didn't know it, I'd be a blind guide who always did the walk in darkness. And so I think this is the beauty of Christian people. We know God's Word. And we're not ashamed to say that word. And if people laugh, so let them laugh. There has never been a time when God's truth has been received in official circles. Though, after it's been, we lost, I know in our church, our bishop once told us, but you know, it's a shame. We lost the Presbyterians in the 16th century. We lost the Baptists in the early 16th and 17th century. We lost the Methodists in the 18th century. And yet, I'm not trying to say that they were all wrong, but I think, well, right, but I think they maybe had some truths. And I think now God is trying to tell us something about the end times. In the early days of the church, the big message of the church was Christology, the nature of God, the purpose of Christ as a part of the sacramental system, the spirations, notations, circumambulations of the Holy Trinity, the perichoresis of the Holy Trinity, all this kind of doctrine and stuff, which was laid out in the early church by the fathers. Then in the medieval period, there was the sanctification of time, the beginning of the Eucharist, the breviary, the stratification of the Mass and the Eucharist and the Holy Liturgy into certain segments of time and all that. Then as we moved into the late 16th century, there was a big controversy on justification, the nature of the sacramental system in justification. But now, in these days, it's everywhere, it's eschatology. I think a person has to be blind not to see what's pouring out of the books. Now, you can laugh at the controversies of the early days, but they were really there. They were necessary because they met what was on the mind, and I believe the power and the Spirit of God was behind it. Like also now, I believe that maybe this has something to do with the Lord. Maybe the Jews coming back after 2,000 years and becoming a nation was not just chance, but it does have something to do with the Lord. Maybe there are tremendous defeats of the Arab nations. Incidentally, in Israel, when I was just leaving, their national lottery now is called the Guess What Lottery. The 666 lottery. Yes. When you go, it's called 6 days for the 6-day war, 6 for the defeat of the 6 Arab nations, and 6 for the 6th month of June when they defeated the Arab League. So their happiest number in which they trust is 666. When he walked out of the Damascus Gate, walking out from Jerusalem, and I passed the Arab stand, there was the taxi stand, and on all Arab license plates, on all non-Israeli vehicles, on all buses, there is one number on the license plate, which is what? 666. So I was standing there taking a picture, and the Arab came up to me, and he said, what are you doing? I'm doing it. Why are you taking a picture of that sign? And then some of the other Arab taxi drivers came up to me, and I said, well, you see, I'm Christian. I believe in the Word of God, and that number 666 is very meaningful to Christians. And he laughed, and he turned, and he says, it's another one of those Christians. And I walked away. So evidently, I was not the one first, nor am I sure that I will be the last. Why of all the numbers? They said that one talked up to Shlomo Goren, one of the chief rabbis of the Rabbinate, and said, of all the numbers in God's good world, why did you ever come across that number for all the non-aliens of Israel? And he said, so how do I know? Typical Jewish reaction, it just kind of happened. Nobody seems to know. This was one thing that I urge some of you, if you can get. It talks about the computers in the Pentagon The specifications now for the new buying and selling cash registers, which will be hooking up in some cities. We're getting to it in Buffalo. See, the new cash registers that now have been working on the banking coordinating systems with banks, NCR, they used to call them cash registers. That's out of date. What do they call them now? Yeah, there are no cash. You know, these don't register cash. These are point currency systems, you see. But the NCR, I have the old name, National Cash Register. Model 304 supermarket computer system works on a series of how many cores in the computer? Yes. See, the computers have six cores. They're ferromagnetic ferrules lined up in parallel in six. And they work giving a magnetic field so that you can deduct and reverse the electromagnetic cores for the number six, and you reverse it and it becomes nine. And the computer can scan both marks and symbolize both those numbers. See? Now, this new model has six cores in conjunction with 60 displacements, an x to the sixth power, and is written on the back of the transaction for buying and selling of this new one as 6 (60)(6). Now again, there comes a time when you can kind of run out of coincidences and buying and selling and things. But I'd like to take now, I understand you have lunch, is this right, sister? We'll break for lunch, and after lunch we'll go into what we'll do to give you a thumbnail sketch, we'll go into what the Bible says from Genesis up about what 666 means, how it's been looked at through the centuries, and then go into the banking system in America and Europe from the colonial period when it began the use of colonial script and the American system of banking, and how Article 1 of the Constitution says that banking and printing of money was to be done and a control of currency by what group? The Congress. Right. And how Article 1 of the Constitution was now set aside because the federal government no longer has the right to print its own currency, no longer has the right to regulate its own economy. That is done by the board, the central bank, which is not a part of the government. The Federal Reserve Board has no control by the president, has no control or supervision by the Congress, has no control or supervision by the Supreme Court. The Federal Reserve Board has never had minutes opened to any member of the Congress of the United States. The Federal Reserve Board has never had an audit. Since 1913, its books have been closed and locked to everyone except the members of the Federal Reserve Board. The history of the Federal Reserve Board is fascinating. It was put together by Paul Warburg in the German banking house, and it was written by Warburg, and he's addressed the Senate of the United States saying that we would be controlled by the Hamburg banking outlet, whether we liked it or not, and that's in the congressional record. He said to 37 senators who happened to be there, of 97, who were possibly able to be there, and we'll get into that. And their views of economics as they see it in that great conglomerate which is known as the quote-unquote international bank. That's right after lunch. You'll find different combinations, but if you can read it, that's not that important. The important one is the one that you don't see now. In fact, this has been brought up in some conferences among cyberneticists about keeping it on the black track. Because you don't really know then what your number is unless the printout comes in the main billing place. So I don't know what the output number would be or what it's referred to on your billing system, because sometimes there are two billing systems done invertedly. Like the scanner will take the number on the back of your strip and then reduplicate the number that's on your top of your strip with another number, but not the number that's on your billing. And all this is done very quickly and very, very fast. And about the computer, some of you may remember in the 1940s, the UNIVAC IBM 1000, which was, you know, it predicted that how Dewey was going to be President Truman. I was just commenting on that. And it was an enormous thing. Thousands of vacuum tubes in it. And the early computers were able to do a financial transaction per second. All the things involved in a transaction could do one a second. And that's pretty fast. When you think of sometimes some copy, just a few years ago, it would take around 10 seconds just to do one copy. But then the computers speeded up to where they could do 10 financial transactions a second, then 20 transactions, then 50, then 100 transactions a second. Then in the 60s, they went into thousands of transactions. In the 70s, the computers now can do hundreds of thousands of transactions a second. In the late 70s, they went on to what were called picoseconds, which is millions of transactions a second. And now, in the 80s, we have the new computers, which are called nanoseconds. It's picoseconds, it's nanoseconds. new computers can do trillions of simultaneous transactions in 1 second. It absolutely just boggles the mind. On the new 666 system. Now, the way the system is hooked up, and groups will gradually be brought into the system, is if you can remember the name of a very lovely woman who doesn't exist, Diane Culpepper Swift. Diane, she is the code cipher name for all the basic banks in the system in Europe. SWIFT is the international Western world cipher for most of the banks in America, which will gradually come in. I got a call from a friend of ours, he was MSP, Bill, got a volume of Dyna. He said they've just gone into SWIFT a few months ago. SWIFT means Society for World Interbank Fiscal Transactions, SWIFT. DIAN in Western Europe is Direct Information Access Network for Europe. The main switching system for the Western world in the Western Hemisphere for the 666 system is in Culpeper. Not far from the Federal Reserve Board building in Washington, D.C. It's just been built. It's very mysterious. There are no signs outside the building. The people who run in and out are all Western Europeans. They're all Germans. It's a fascinating system. Now, what happens is ITT, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, work and build up enormous satellite systems which take the banking modulating frequency transactions from the lines of Marbell and propel them by satellite to the SWIFT systems, which are coordinated by satellite and all filter in into the Beast, affectionately called the Beast, the Jean Monnet building in Brussels. All the computer activities in banking and buying and selling in Western Europe and the other areas go by Diane into Brussels. So, Diane Culpepper Swift is the code cipher for the new credit card system, which funnels all things. And see, people don't realize if they have a credit card and they want to take a trip to Florida or to Canada or fly in an airplane to Germany or England, they can pull out their card. And they just assume that somehow they give it to a man and they find a way within a matter of seconds to verify that card. The reason is that it goes into our affectionate friend, the Beast, in 666. Your credit is then clear within a matter of seconds because it can do it more quickly than there are people on the planet. It can now do trillions of transactions in nanoseconds a second, and there are only, as I said, a little under 3-4 billion people on all of planet Earth. So this is how fast we've come in new communication systems. It's just absolutely fascinating. And when I was speaking to our congregation in a series of sermons that we had teaching people God's word and prophecy, one of our lay auxiliary ministers, one of the lay readers, a man called Lou Brown, smiled and said, "Hey, Father, we just finished putting one of those in, putting in a new $58 million computer in Buffalo, which is going to be one of the main switching areas to take all the 666 transfer electronic funds transfer systems that go from Albany and Syracuse and dovetail them into the Buffalo system by satellite. It beams them up to satellite and down into the Beast in Luxembourg." Now, in the Luxembourg, J. Patrick Fisher, who's the computer analyst and economist for the Canadian government, spent 3 years while they were building the new 66 trilateral service code in Luxembourg. And he came back, and in an interview on the radio about a year and a half ago, spoke to Dr. Emil Gavlik, who's a Christian, kind of a Christian talk, but Dr. Fisher's not a Christian, he's just a computer expert. And they were asking back and forth about the new system. And Dr. Fisher said, "Well, yes." He said, "In the past 9 years, every transaction you've ever had, if you have, even if you don't have a credit card, if you have filled out an internal revenue tax form, you are and have been in the 66 system. Every job you have ever held, all your records are not kept only in Washington. Your credit records are kept for the past 9 years in the Beast in Luxembourg, affectionately called, on the third floor of the Jean Monnet building. everybody in the civilized world. In fact, he said at the Monet building, the cyberneticists there have been working to give kind of a universal number to everybody because they feel the system will work very, very much better, much well, having that, whether a person accepts it or not, the system has to be ready. The system is ready before it's needed. And an example of that is your 666 system on the touch digital telephone, which again is based on the Tri-Digital 666 code book cipher. And the point of view of that, when the engineers designed that, we've already been well aware of the Tri-Little Digital System in the 1940s. And when these first came out in the late 40s and early 50s, for those who could afford them, and while not everybody is hooked up, if you notice, those of you who have, we have in St. Bartholomew's the electronic telephone system with the, you know, the touch tone. And on the different lines, two lines that we have coming in, you have 123456789 0 asterisk and cancel form, like tic-tac-toe form. Now basically what you have is a mini computer. See, that was the purpose of it. And it's already used in 38 cities in the United States. That touch tone is meant to be hooked up with what you call a home processing unit. It's now being analyzed and being put in Syosset, in Long Island, in New York City, by one of the banks there. That's the incoming thing. Within the next 10 years, most everybody will have it. You'll just get your little unit right next to your telephone. You can hit the main clear terminal. The little asterisk has 6 points. When you hit that 6-pointed asterisk, that opens up the 666 international banking local computer in your area. That opens and clears your credit. Then you can hit the typewriter for any area you want and the direct information access for any store or bank or thing that you want to compete with, make deposits, pull deposits out, make purchases or whatever, will flash on the screen. Then you just hit the command module and your digits then make it no longer a telephone but your computer, and you can order whatever you want by digit code cipher. And then when you hit the tic-tac-toe sign, that makes the purchase. And when you hit the asterisk sign, that deducts it from your account and electronic transfer. That has been on our telephones for 25 years. It's been planned that way. Just because you haven't used it yet means that your city hasn't been put in the system yet, but it will be, and you will be. So again, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not, you will be using it very, very shortly. It's just a matter of the techniques, as I understand from the workers at the telephone company, before the switching operations and the hookings up are all completed. It's kind of like a frog. You know, I mentioned this in church once. You want to kill a frog, the way you can't take a frog out of a puddle and drop it in hot water. The frog will drop right out. And the frog is like some Christians. So the devil knows that anybody who knows the Bible will be aware of it. So the way to do it is to gradually bring a system on. Just get a frog and put it in the water and gradually lower the temperature. Put him in cold water and gradually lower it. And gradually lower it. Have 666 come to the telephone company. Have it come in with the banks. Ever so slowly. Make it optional. Have like signs when I walked into the Buffalo Savings Bank and had a big sign from the Federal Reserve Board that said you wouldn't be standing on this line if you were already in the 666 electronic fund system. Gradually, you know, bring this concept to people. Gradually have it come in Trico and General Motors and all the other systems. And so you gradually lower the temperature and finally you can freeze the frog to death because it's been done slowly. That's the way to do it. I warned, in a sense, about what's coming. And I honestly feel, whether you think it's funny, whether you think Father Raymond is crazy or not, well, fine. But whether you believe it or not, I really believe that you're going to see more and more of it. 15, 20 years ago, I was kind of a voice in the wilderness, but if I've seen the books that are piling up out of the presses these days, I'm not a voice in the wilderness. There are some people who've made themselves quite a big name. And a lot of money, just saying some of the basic things that the scriptures have said anyway. Now let's look this time through the basic truths of 666 and then go into the banking system and economics. First, these are some books. I went to this book's out recently. What did I find here? That have come out by different people. New Money or None, talking about the coming economic collapse. The Day the Dollar Dies. I went to When Your Money Fails. I went to Sattler's, and I looked at the new books that were coming out in 1980 and 1981. This was one by a PhD in economics, Geoffrey Alberry, put at Harvard University and Princeton University. It was about after the coming crash in the 1980s. Then I jotted down some of the other books while I was standing around. How to Survive in the Growing Economic Collapse in the Tough Times Asked by economist Thomas J. Holt, published 1981, Random House. Another book, Crisis Investing in the Coming Calamity by Douglas R. Case, the Harvard Row, 1979. Another book, right next to each other, Survival in the Inflationary 80s, H.J. Ruff. The next book next to it, The Coming Currency Collapse by economist F.J. Smith, 1980, Books in Focus. The next book next to it, Money Dynamics for the 1980s, Ventura Van Castro. The next book, The Alpha Strategy by economist John H. Hughesley. He says, you know, when the collapse comes, those people are always, you know, they're always surprised. He says, but how you can make money out of their stupidity? He says, you know, how to invest in areas where they're not going to even think of it. But it was interesting. 8 books, and every one of them did not ask if it happened, but when, and how you can make a quick kill or a quick profit out of it. Of course, not everybody agrees with them. Not everybody agrees with everybody about anything. In fact, they often say in the Episcopal Church, the only way you can get 2 Episcopalians to agree is on what the 3rd should give to Episcopal charities. But often there's a lot more unanimity than we realize. When I was talking about the coming collapse, a banking friend was down in Florida, and he sent me an article. Do I have it here? About the coming economic collapse from the Florida paper down there, and I had a whole file full of them. Some of them have made page 1 on the Buffalo Evening News within the past 2 months. I wish I had time to get into all these economists and what they're saying, and those then reply back to them and the reasons they give back and forth. I can't, well, we'll get to that later. Now let's go back to the scriptures. That's 666. Why that number, and what does God mean by it? If we know what the Bible is trying to say about it, then, and this then is not Father Raymond, it's not Joe Schwunk the midget, it's not somebody else's idea. What we're basically doing is just seeing what the Word says, without any presuppositions, bringing nothing, no previous views to it, letting it speak for itself. Now, note, let's go to the very first chapter, Genesis 1. I don't have time for that. Let's jump from 1 to verse chapter 11. We'll skip that and go on page 8. Now, chapter 11, verse 1, it said, "Now the whole earth had one language and a few words." Oh, I'd love to spend an hour on that. You know, my brother was at one time an instructor at the University of Toronto. He's a philological linguist, an expert in Oriental and Eastern studies. He's a scholar in Hindu Punjabi and Ugaritic. And he said something which is just repeated here, in which linguists are discovering that how would you compare modern language to old languages? Did they have more words than a few words?
Fewer.
Was it more accurate then or less accurate? Much more accurate. What we found out is that the ancients, the old idea that language evolved from a few grunts of a guy dragging his knuckles on the ground just wouldn't cut. It's not what linguists are following. They've discovered that the older you go back, that ancient Chinese and Mandarin was a breakdown of an earlier, more complicated language. In fact, even Old English, Old English had declined nouns and prefixes and suffixes on the nouns, and the nouns even had conjugations. They were so accurate a language that you could use one word, like a command word, come. Now a verb. And just by saying come, by the prefix and suffix case endings of Old English, you would know the time of day that the word come was said, where you wanted the person to come when you said it, and where you were standing in relation to the person by the two case endings and the conjugated lines between the prefix and the penultimate symbol. Now that's it. How do you develop something like that by chance? And these happened suddenly. Now, as our language got modern, it degenerated and became more and more difficult. It became, now you have to, when the case endings fell away, now you have to get more wordy to say the same thing that you could do with just one word. Now you have to say, come, here, in front of me, behind me, back of me, with a whole bunch of prepositions. But the ancient languages didn't. They just could say so much with the knowledge of rhetoric and grammar, which just was, oh, the study of this is fascinating. And philologists are taking an interesting look at Genesis 11:1, real scholars. And they had a king over them, whose name was Nimrod. By the way, how many letters in the first king's name?
Six.
Now, it says in verse 9 that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It could also mean, it means before the Lord, not in the sense